Hallelujah. What a beautiful night in the presence of the Lord. It's time to look to the Word. Message tonight, wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Let's begin with John 13, verses 3 to 11. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Said Peter, when I've come through the cross, because Jesus spoke these words on the eve of the crucifixion, he said, when I come through the cross, the Holy Spirit will rest upon your life and upon my people and give them spiritual understanding of the symbolism of my action. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If I do not wash you, you have no part with the Lord. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. That verse, verse 8, Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Sobering words. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no cleansing from our sins. There is no cleansing for mankind. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We're all like an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's only one place of cleansing, and it's the Lord. If we do not surrender to Jesus Christ, there is no cleansing for us from our sin. There is no washing of our life. There is no cleansing from defilement. We have no part with him. Many people will not let Jesus wash them. Pride gets in the way. They won't let Jesus wash them. Too proud, too independent, too self-driven. I'll handle my own cleansing, thank you very much, God. I'll clean up my own act. I know how to handle myself. I'll wash myself. That was the reaction of Peter, because he, in this passage, depicts the reaction of the natural man when confronted with sin and defilement. I'll clean up my own life. I'll find my own way. There's only one way of cleansing, and that is Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you cannot be clean. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Job 14 and verse 4 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Who can bring a clean life out of an unclean life? No one. Only Jesus. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. No person can say that. It's only by the grace of God and by the washing of Jesus Christ. How many tonight in your heart say, wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Number one, we need washing. Initial regeneration, rebirth, and ongoing sanctification. We need washing. Initial regeneration, the born-again experience, we give our life to Christ. And ongoing sanctification. Titus 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of rebirth, through the washing of new creation life, through the washing of regeneration and making new the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the initial cleansing of the Lord, the washing of regeneration. He makes us a new creation in Christ, and we've been made new by the Holy Spirit. John 13:10 says, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. We need a bathing. We need a one-time washing of Jesus where we repent of our sins and accept him as Savior and Lord. And then we require ongoing sanctification, dealing with the defilement of our walk in this world, dealing with the dust and contamination that tries to attach or cling to us. We need the washing of Jesus. We need that daily application of the washing of the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 7 to 10. David said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was the leafy plant that they dipped in the blood and applied to the side posts and the lintel of the door in Exodus, representing the blood of the Lamb upon their lives. Purge me with blood. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow? Do you know how white snow is? I've had a few vehicles in my lifetime, and two of them were white. And I thought, my, those are nice white vehicles. But when the snow landed on them, all of a sudden they didn't look very white. There is nothing whiter than snow. And God says, that is the imagery that I want in your spirit. That is how I cleanse my people. That is how I wash them from their sins. I make them whiter than snow. We need initial regeneration. We need to be born again and accept Christ as Savior. And then we need the ongoing sanctification, the cleansing of our life. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Let's talk this over. Let's deal with your salvation. Though your sins are like scarlet, he's talking about scarlet dye that they would put in a garment. Impossible to get that dye out once it was in. You could wash it 1,000 times and that stubborn dye would not come out. The Lord says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, again, crimson dye, they shall be as wool. Oh, the promise of sins forgiven. Our names written down in heaven, blood-washed saints, cleansed, purified. We've been bathed by Christ. We are completely clean. We just need the ongoing maintenance of our life. But we need washing. Every person needs washing. Initial regeneration and ongoing sanctification. Number two, we need the daily washing of water by the Word. We need the daily washing of water by the Word. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, that is, set apart, make holy, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church, his people with the washing of water by the word. That is how Jesus cleanses his people, is by the washing of the water by the word. I don't know about you, but I prefer to be around people who wash every day. First the natural, then the spiritual. So we need to get this word of God across our life every day. Take up a Bible reading guide like we offer in this church. Read the Bible through at least once in a year, and other scriptures as they come to you during the day or you're drawn to passages. This is how the Lord washes his people, and we need daily washing as we walk through this world. There's defilement, there's dust, there's contact with this world. Read the Bible out loud and let it wash you. Jesus said, this is what I do. When my people sit and have their devotions and they're in my presence and they're reading the Bible out loud and that word is just going across them, he said, I'm actually washing them from the defilement of the world. They may not even realize each time the miracle that's taking place. But God says, I am washing my people. I am purifying them. I'm working in them. Listen. None of us is so perfected that we don't need the daily washing of water by the word. We need our lives washed every day. Attitudes, maybe offenses that try and come, resentment, some criticism, some disappointment. There are many things that try to settle on us during the day. Maybe there's some harsh words spoken to you. Maybe you heard cursing and swearing and things got onto your life for a moment. You say, I want to be cleansed. I'm going into the Word of God. I'm going to let that Word just wash me right now from all the dust of the world today. I'm going to be free. I'm going to be holy unto the Lord. I'm going to sing and rejoice and praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way, his walk? By taking heed according to your word. Just read that word. Just pull that word over your life every day and let it wash you. Jesus said in John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Because of the word. That's how we're cleansed and washed and renewed and sanctified and set apart for the Lord. Just read that word and bring it over your life. John 17, 16 to 17. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Speaking of his disciples, he said, Father, sanctify them, make them holy, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. And that's the washing, and that's the renewing of the Lord. That's daily. An initial regeneration from sins, bathed. But now every one of us need a daily washing as we walk through this world, lest any dust, lest anything of this world, lest any temptation or sinful way take hold of us in any shape or form. We take the washing of the water by the word. How many tonight in your heart say, wash me, Jesus? Wash me, Jesus, when I'm reading your word. Wash me, Jesus. I may not even know the lingering defilement that's on me. But you wash me, Lord, and keep me clean and keep me holy. Number three, final point. We need the sanctifying power of the Lord's day. Sunday. We need the sanctifying, setting apart, making holy power of the Lord's day. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. I heard the voice of the Lord. The Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I wasn't in the flesh. I wasn't bogged down by the natural man. I wasn't hung over from the entertainments of Saturday night. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a voice, the voice of the Lord speaking. Sunday is the day that the Lord has chosen to have a weekly purifying effect on his people. Every Sunday, The Lord is working among us, sanctifying, separating us, drawing us close to Him. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. The Apostle Paul said, you know, the believers are gathering on the first day of the week. He said, I want a special offering for a certain churches and people so they can begin to lay that aside as an offering. Acts 20, verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now on the first day of the week. The scriptures show us in these instances that the early church, the early believers, as much as possible, gathered on Sunday, the first day of the week, to honor the Lord, to break bread, to be taught the word. They separated themselves as a community. The Lord's Day. Chosen in honor of Jesus Christ and His resurrection, for Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And so the New Testament church chose to honor the first day as the main day of gathering of the saints. In the Old Testament, the day that was set aside to honor the Lord, the rest day, was Saturday. In the New Testament, as much as possible, the day of the gathering of God's people across the earth is Sunday, if they can. But it's not now a Sabbath law like the Old Testament. It's now a Sabbath principle, because God knew His gospel was going out to the Gentile world. And it wouldn't be a confined situation like Israel had. Everyone, Sabbath day, everyone keep the Sabbath. Now the gospel would go out into the world. There would be secular governments and different kinds of situations. And God knew that it would not always be possible for His people to gather on a Sunday, depending what powers they were under. But wherever Christianity has gone in this world, Sunday has become the day in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Regardless if we have a Sabbath law or simply a Sabbath principle, it's a creation mandate. God says, one day in seven, I want my people to separate themselves unto me. One day in seven, I want them to rest. I want their animals to rest. I want their livestock to rest. I want it to be a rest day for creation, that man can reflect on God and draw close to God and separate himself to the Lord. We need the purifying effect of the weekly day of the Lord. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Why? That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. God says there's something about that Sabbath, Saturday in the Old Testament, Sunday in the New, were observed. God says, it's a day where I'm sanctifying my people. He said, I want you to set this day apart so that you may know that I am the Lord who is setting you apart, making you holy, changing you. And so the Lord's Day, what a beautiful day. God says, the Lord's Day, Sunday, is the day that I draw my people close to me. It's the day that I wash them, I renew them, I teach them, I instruct them. I fill them with my presence. I draw them out from where they are. They're separated from the world. They're a different people. The world goes about its activity all day on the Lord's Day, but God says, my people want to be with me and in my presence. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's God's promise. Some people trifle with the Lord's Day, Sunday. This and that, here and there. But God has a promise. God has a promise to the faithful. If you honor me, not doing your own ways, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I'll fill you with my presence. I'll cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, feed you with the inheritance of the people of God. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The weekly Lord's Day. Three immediate warning signs for every Christian. Three immediate danger signs for every Christian. They don't want to pray. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to go to church. Zephaniah 3:18. Let's close out with these verses. Worship ministry can come. Zephaniah 3:18. It's a chapter that has a number of promises sprinkled through it to the people of God. But listen to this one. God says, I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly. I will gather those who sorrow over the church services. Who are among you to whom its reproach is a burden? You know, there are some people, thankfully, that sorrow over the church services. When the church isn't honored, when people don't want to come to the house of God, there are some people, God says, in the earth that sorrow over the appointed assembly, that yearn and long and sorrow over the corporate gathering. God says, I will gather those people unto myself to whom its reproach is a burden. Some people are burdened when the house of the Lord is not honored, when the houses of God in the land are not filled with hungry, thirsty, worshiping, praising people. Some people are burdened by it, by that reproach. God says, I will gather those people. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those people before the Lord. What about Psalm 27:4? David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Look at that first part. One thing have I have desired. This struck me this week like I've never seen it. David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. He said, this is up to God. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David is yearning. He's crying out to God. He's making requests. Please, please, Lord, let me dwell in your house. Give me access to your house. Let me come into the courts of the Lord. It's your house. You're the one who opens the door to me, Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Please, Lord, let me dwell in your house that I can partake of the fullness of your temple and be part of the corporate anointing and receive the blessing of the saints upon my life. Lord, please open your house to me that I may dwell there all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, that's worship. And to inquire in his temple, that's the word. David said, I want to be under the worship and prayer of the house. I want to be under the word and instruction of the house. I make request, Father, open the doors of the house to me. One thing have I desired of you. How about this verse in closing? Blessed is the man you choose. Uh-oh. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Is it possible that God decides who comes to his house and who doesn't? And even how often they come? Is it possible that God only chooses those who choose him? Perhaps some today don't kind of lost their desire to go to church, to go to the house of the Lord. My question is it because the Lord is no longer choosing them? Perhaps there is a disinterest in them because God no longer has an interest because of the kind of offering and sacrifice they bring. I thought I decide if I go to church or not. Well, maybe we should look at it from the divine perspective. You don't have to receive this tonight, but maybe you shouldn't dismiss it too quickly. But think about it. Blessed is the man that God chooses and says, you can come into my house and into my courts. God requires an unblemished sacrifice. In the Old Testament, he said, don't bring me anything, any animal that's blind or sick or lame. Offer that to the government. Take that to the job site and see how it'll work for you. He said, when my people come into my presence, I want them to come with hearts on fire. I want them to come so surrendered, so longing, so loving. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Please, Lord, open the doors of your house to me. I can't wait to come in and rejoice and fellowship with you. And my, what a beautiful communion we had with the Lord tonight in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord. May dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wash me, Jesus. Keep me clean and keep me close to you. Blessed is the man, blessed is the person you choose. And cause to approach unto you and to your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. We will be filled with the joy and delight of your holy temple. Let's stand tonight and offer ourselves to the Lord. Just say, wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Wash my heart. Keep me close to you. Ask the Lord for a great love for the church services, for the prayer rooms, for the worship rooms. Ask the Lord for a great love for his word, that that washing of the water of the word might be upon our lives every day. Cleansed and holy, people of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you.